Michael Brown, Tamir Rice, and Philando Castile. Just a few names of black men and boys who have died after encounters with police officers. So far, the officers involved in those shootings have not been brought to trial. It's a narrative that's become all too familiar. Washington State has one of the toughest laws against charging police officers who shoot civilians. But that wasn't always the case. Seattle-based historian Dr. Dowdy Abe has one telling example from here in Seattle in 1938.
Barry Lawson was a 27-year-old African-American waiter who was living at the Mount Fuji Hotel, which is actually down there on downtown on Yesler Street. The building is actually still there. And Barry Lawson was asleep, reportedly asleep in a chair in the lobby of this hotel. He was approached by three Seattle police officers who approached him with the intent of arresting him for loitering. An altercation ensued, and 90 minutes later, Barry Lawson was pronounced dead at the city emergency hospital with a fractured skull. Officers said that Lawson was under the influence of something, broke free from their grasp, and flung himself down a flight of stairs. Although an autopsy found no evidence that he was intoxicated, the coroner cleared the officers of any wrongdoing. Immediately, the African-American community begins asking questions. And this is done, this pressure is kind of applied through a series of meetings with the police chief and the mayor. Now, shortly within a few days after these series of meetings, the city announces that an official investigation will start. April 8th, the three officers are charged with second-degree murder and immediately suspended and then fired from the force 1 month later.
The three police officers involved in this incident were originally charged with second-degree murder.
Yes.
How unusual was it that these officers would have been charged in this death?
Completely unusual, completely anti what was happening at the. I mean, this is a time where black citizens were routinely killed by police with no public outcry, with just, you know what I mean? You just move on because that's the way that things were done. And so
when you say routinely, you mean here in the Pacific Northwest?
I mean, everywhere. I mean, it was natural within. I mean, not that it's not now. I'm just saying that, you know, contextually for the time, it was just something that just happened. And it was something that really, not that it didn't get attention, but it did not get attention in the sense that there was going to be any type of justice or anything like that served. You know what I mean?
Lynchings were still happening in the South.
Yeah, exactly.
Eventually, these officers were convicted of the lesser charge of manslaughter. Did they ever serve jail time?
So, brought originally indicted on charges of second-degree murder, convicted on the lesser charge of manslaughter, and sentenced to 20 years apiece, these three officers were. Now, after the conviction, after it was handed down, there was some legal wrangling. They're appealing this up to the Washington State Supreme Court. And in January 1939, Washington State Supreme Court upheld the verdict, saying, quote, that the officers used more force than necessary in taking Lawson into custody, end quote. So then they are in jail. But in the coming months, two of the officers are pardoned by Governor Clarence Martin. So the final officer was pardoned in December 1939. As he is released after he gains his freedom, he takes responsibility for the death of Barry Lawson.
So that's the story you came across from 1938, the story of Barry Lawson. You discovered it, and I'm wondering what your reaction was when you first learned about this man and what had happened with these police officers.
Well, my discovery was actually over a lunch with a mentor of mine, Dr. Quintard Taylor, who's a history professor up here at UW. And he actually covered this case in his book, The Forging of a Black Community, about the Central District. But I will say that my reaction is that this is an incredible example of the duality of racial Seattle. Think about the progressive racial tradition, at least in the African-American thread of the discussion of race in Seattle. Washington was only one of six states not to ban interracial marriage. The state constitution made racial segregation in schools illegal. In the 1880s, African-American men and women voted. The Barry Lawson case. So these are all these examples of Seattle kind of being ahead of the curve racially. But at the same time, that shadow of institutional bias lingers. I'm talking about stuff like within law enforcement, within the educational system, both of which have been under the federal microscope lately, largely because of their interactions with people of color and kind of the negative outcomes that come as a result of that.
These have been a tumultuous few weeks in the country. There's been a lot of violence and protests around violence, interactions between African-Americans and law enforcement. When you think about the story about Barry Lawson here in Seattle, are there any lessons that you can draw from that to what we're experiencing today?
I think that nobody is disputing the difficulty of being a police officer. At least I'm not. I'm not here to disparage the job that they have to do on a daily basis. And I understand that the police are necessary because there are fools out here. You know what I mean? There are people who don't know how to act straight up. However, having said that, in my opinion, there is a level of responsibility as a public servant that includes being accountable when you go outside the purview of your duties. And I think there has to be a mechanism. You know, that story tells us that, yes, at one time there was a mechanism in place that allowed for an officer in a questionable circumstance to be judged fairly in front of a jury. And I think that there has to be some way that can be agreed upon that allows, when there are questionable circumstances in one of these deaths, that there has to be redress for people who feel like they've been wronged. In this situation, you know, even though the officers didn't spend a lot of time in jail, the fact that they were
in the Barry Lawson case.
Yeah, in the Barry Lawson case, the fact that they were prosecuted and stripped of their authority was an incredible thing for that time. And I think that the idea that maybe we're going backward a little bit certainly can be in play, given the fact that this happened almost 80 years ago and we still kind of see almost play for play replays of this type of situation. But I just think that having in-depth conversation and figuring out a process, if you're going to come together with like police guild and people in charge there and Office of Accountability, that kind of thing, and figure out a process by which there's so many similarities between police officers and teachers. And I've worked and kind of spoken with both. Both are underpaid. Both are underappreciated. Both, you don't really get a chance to hear about them unless something bad happens. And I talked to them both about how do you decondition implicit bias in your workplace? And I think that talking with police and trying to speak with law enforcement about how you process some of these things, it's tough because nobody wants to be labeled as a racist. And I think in a lot of ways, that's what kind of inhibits the conversation. We all have biases. It's just that some of them are a little bit more incendiary if you say them out loud.
So this might be easier for us to talk about if we could admit we were all biased.
Right.
And that doesn't mean that we're racist.
Right. Right.
You're a historian. You live in the past. You look to the past all the time. What lesson do you think this particular story, this bit of history, holds for the people of Seattle today?
I think that, you know, a lot of those progressive instances that I kind of listed off, it gives a kind of a self-congratulatory vibe to this place, racially speaking. Like, we pat ourselves on the back like, yeah, we're not like them. We're not this way. You know, when the civil rights thing was happening in Seattle, it was happening without lynchings and fire hoses that were symbolic in other places of the country. So I think there's part of that. And I think that part of that is deserved because we have been ahead of the curve. But how do we as Seattle people kind of juxtapose these competing racial traditions within the context of local culture? It's a great question. Something that I still struggle with. You know what I mean? I teach classes. I speak with students about this. And you know, sometimes within a local context, but oftentimes within a larger context. But the local context is key because the culture here is different. The vibe here is different than in other places. And I'm not just talking in a racial sense. I'm just talking about overall how we do things here. You know what I mean? So yeah, I think that the lessons that we take is, you know, are we resting on our laurels, on our progressive laurels, or are we actually trying to engage each other in these difficult conversations that it's going to take in order to bring about the change that most people anyway feel like we want to see.
Dr. Dowdy Abe teaches at Seattle Central Community College. His editorial about the 1938 Barry Lawson case appeared in the Seattle Stranger. We're tweeting out a link to that article.